What's a night? And Babbitt's ballin', wind bind a bone. Wind like this, full of voices. Ancestry howling at you. You bring stories. All voices tied up into one. One voice different. One voice whispering out there, spying from a dark. That fangy devil, old Georgie himself. Now you hear up close, and I'll yarn you about the first time we met.
I am the walrus.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie!
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
Do something about this immediately! 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 Harumph! 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 Harumph!
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Doga! 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 Doga!
Listening to Cinema Presto Fiso.
Welcome to episode 109 of Cinema Crespediso. 109, it is so fine. I'm your host.
Is it so fine? Episode 105, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey, episode 109.
Hey, Drewster. That's Drew Skagward.
What? Apparently I'm so fine, I blow Chris's mind.
According to you. It's fine.
According to me, I am so fine. I blow your mind.
Everything we say on these mics is 100% true.
It's the truth, Chris. The truth.
That's 100% truth. Unfiltered, unadulterated truth.
The truth.
That sounds like a discharge. You need to get checked out. Doctor, I got the case of the truths.
It is. You know, I've been going to doctors about this almost my entire life, and they can't get rid of it.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those ones. Sticks around for a while.
Yes. I've been told I'm going to be plagued with it my entire life.
Oh, you're stuck with the truth?
Yes. The whole 100% unadulterated truth.
Every time you go on a date, do you have to like disclose that at the beginning? Yes. Just to let you know.
Just so you know, I'm afflicted with the truth.
Just in case, you know, this goes somewhere, we start, you know, just want to let you know right up front, I've been tested positive for the truth.
Yes.
I spew truth often.
All over the place.
All over the place. Oh boy, might want to get that. Anyway, well, odd way to start the show, lamenting your druthiness. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Stephen Colbert, for that one. I'm gonna miss that Colbert report.
So am I. It's gonna be awful.
It's been on for 9 years. Although nightly show's good, we need to talk about TV sometimes on the Cinema Crespity. So,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. We talk about Breaking Bad and stuff like that. Speaking of, Better Call Saul. That's starting tonight.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Better Call Saul tonight and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's
going to be pretty. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Looking forward to it. Before we start the show, we got a lot to talk about. Let's talk about real quick a donation we got from SBK Media.
Yes, got a great donation from SBK Media. They gave me a computer, Chris.
Thanks, SBK.
Thank you,
Media.
SBK Media, for bringing me into the 21st century.
Yes, this man was out of the computer for a while, and now he's out. What do you got? There was that a Tandy? Is that a Texas Instruments?
What, my one before?
No, with the one you got right now. What is that? Is that just a big risk calculator?
It's a Mac, bro.
Oh, it's a Mac.
It's a Mac.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's nicer than the one. It's nicer than my old Mac.
There you go. Better than the old Mac. Mac is dead. Long live the Mac.
Yes.
All right. Well, hey, thank you, SBK Media. We really, truly appreciate it. Drewster really appreciates it. That's for sure.
Oh, 100%.
All right, we have movie news and a couple of tweets and some emails and stuff like that. Billy D's Death at the Movies, all that's going down in the second half of the show. Before we even get into the first half of the show, also I want to mention this. I think I need to mention this, Drew, at the beginning of each episode. I need to try to remember this. Because, you know, maybe someone new is checking the show out. Hopefully there's new people downloading for the first time, in which case we say hello, welcome, thank you, for we appreciate it. If you check your iTunes feed or your Stitcher feed, you're only going to get, however you get the podcast, you can only see the last 10 episodes. Before, I had all of them available, but once we got to a certain point, it was slowing down server speeds with all the downloads and stuff, and apparently I had to scale that back. So I put it back to the default of 10. I may bump that up to 15, 20 down the road to see what the server can handle, you know, test it out. But that's what resulted. Remember when the show wasn't available for like a week there?
Yes. I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, it wasn't uploading. It was because of that whole thing. That's why there's only 10 episodes there now. Doesn't mean you can't listen to all the old episodes. You go straight to ChrisCrespo.com. And you can download all the past episodes. If you want to hear us talk about a specific movie, actually, you can just go into the search. Search whatever movie you want to look for. You know, say you want to hear us talk about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Please.
You do a search for that on my website. Right there, there's a search bar. It'll pop up with my review, the written one, the episode that we talked about it, plus the bonus episode that we did.
Yeah. Oh, all of them.
All of them will pop up on the website.
Isn't that fancy?
Yeah. It's, you know, the crazy things they do with search technology. Apparently, when you put the words in, it brings back results.
Yes.
And there's multiple results sometimes.
Sweet.
So there you go. Or you can just, right there on the website, it says Crespedisa on the side. Click on that, and you can just scroll through chronologically backwards through the whole thing all the way to episode one. Check out how awful it was. It was 2 years ago now.
I almost want to listen to episode one just to see how awful it was.
You should. You should go back and listen to it. It'll be the only episode you ever listen to.
Correct.
And then you'll be like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this?
Yes, and that's a good question.
But then you can listen to episode 109 right after it.
You mean the one we're doing right now?
And then you'd be like, oh,
I don't need to listen to it. I'm doing it. I'm doing the episode. Why everybody need to listen to it?
Because you're in it.
Exactly. I'm in
it. Exactly. So you're not listening to it. You're in it.
We're doing it now.
It's a different, trust me on this one. Trust me on this one, Drew. I know this one from experience. When you're in it and you're doing it, it's totally different from when you're listening to it later. Trust me.
Okay.
I know.
Gotcha.
I know. Where were we?
Man, I have no idea.
That was crazy.
Uh-huh.
Crazy tangential. So go to ChrisCrespo.com and you can go to all of the back episodes of the show are all available for free. Enjoy 2 years worth of entertainment. So for the first half of the show, we got new movies in theaters and on DVD. We got two movies to review. Drew and I saw the Wachowski's latest, and then Drew, make sure when you do the numbers to talk about that that submarine Jude Law movie.
Oh, okay. So what was that? Black Sea?
Yeah, see if you can find that one, those numbers. I forgot to tell you that before the show because, you know, communications for losers.
Okay.
And that's all part of the box office recap. But before we do any of that, of course, we got to do the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Alrighty, let's go ahead and get that started right there. ChrisCrespo.com. You can also use the website. Check out the past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week.
All right, Chris. This one's from 2003.
2003. Write that down. 2003. Is it Chinese? Is it American? Is it English?
It's American.
It's American.
I would assume.
USA. He assumes. I'll put an asterisk next to
it. It's rated R.
It's rated R. We're narrowing it down. 2003 rated R
and
USA.
It's 89 minutes.
Oh, and it's a short one. I'm going to guess it is.
Speaking of short.
It's an action movie. Oh, no. Speaking of short, is it The Station Agent?
Yes, it is.
All right. See, there's only a certain amount of movies in the randomizer and on the Netflix.
Uh-huh,
and
that. And I'm really glad that you went with that choice of words. It was easier for me to segue.
It did make it 25,000 pyramid style. And then I meant to write down The Station Agent, but I wrote The Short. The Station Agent.
Station Agent.
With Tyrion Lannister, a.k.a. The Dink.
Dude, we saw this movie before he was The Dink. He was just Peter Dinklage then.
He was just Peter Dinklage. The guy just trying to make it.
And not,
the guy just, now, try, the guy now just he trying is to be in a movie.
The Dink.
And meanwhile, he's also in it with Bobby Cannavale, who's done a bunch of Broadway stuff since then. And he's got this movie coming out with Al Pacino where he plays the son. And then who's the lady? You got it right there. Do you have it right there?
Patricia Clarkson?
Patricia Clarkson, of course. I would never... She's like the poor lady's Anne Heche. Patricia Clarkson is who that is. Station Agent is about this dude, played by Peter Dinklage, who I think he's already obsessed with trains, and he loves trains. Yes. And then either he buys an old rundown station, or no, I think he inherits it.
I think he inherits it.
He inherits it, right? So he goes to the station, and he tries to, like, keep it up and sort of, and he hangs out there and he reads, and that's a place where he gets some solitude. He hates people because he's a dwarf, and you know, it's a tough life for him.
And they go into that in the movie a little bit.
Yeah, that's absolutely becomes part of the movie, his stature. But then this dude in a Cuban food truck just decides to start rolling up and like trying to serve him food or whatever, and he begrudgingly like starts talking to him. They become friends, and then this chick shows up somewhere, and then the three of them form a friendship, and then things get a little complicated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then from that point on, it's just that it's about the emotional complications of the various friendships and how it came to be. Very, very well done. Very good movie.
I mean, Mr. Dinklage definitely proved his chops in that one.
Oh, I mean, he's fantastic. He's a great actor.
Yeah,
it's definitely that type of thing where if the dude was, you know, he didn't have dwarfism,
yeah,
if he had normalism or whatever, he'd be like, you know, maybe a Bradley Cooper type. I could see that.
Okay,
I could see him having that much. That much clout. Sway. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's good.
He is.
Dude's really good.
That's muy bueno.
Everyone else is good in the movie, too. It's an Andrew McCarthy movie. Andrew McCarthy?
Thomas.
Andrew McCarthy was in all those 80s movies, if you remember that guy. You saw a picture of Andrew McCarthy. Like, it's not that guy. Tom McCarthy, he's a character actor. He's the type of guy where he blends in the movies. You never recognize him. You know, very bland-looking dude, just does his job. But as a writer-filmmaker, this is his first movie. After that, he did... not Win-Win. Win-Win was his third movie. After that, he did The Visitor with Richard Dinkins? Deakins? No, Richard Jenkins. Remember that one?
Vaguely.
Excellent movie. Excellent film. That one was on the Netflix Instant for a while. I don't know if it's on there anymore. And then after that, he did Win-Win with Paul Giamatti, where he was the high school wrestling coach, and there's that kid. All of his movies are really good. They're all really good. Station Agents.
Station Agents is very good.
It's excellent. And it's only 89 minutes, so come on, guys.
It is.
You got time. You got the time, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the box office recap.
The review.
For the weekend, Drew, you got some numbers there? What do we got?
Yeah, coming in at number 28 this week.
Oh God!
Black Sea had a weekend gross of $258,000 for the grand total of just over a million.
Just over a million.
Just over a million.
Say how many screens? I'm gonna put it at. Let me guess. 350 screens.
353.
Boom! I know my distribution patterns because this is not the type of movie that you're gonna dump in every. Although you know what I mean. They could have put some money behind the marketing, put it on like 1,000 screens. It could have made a few million dollars. I don't see, would it have cost that much for the marketing? I guess marketing is pretty expensive for, you know, for, even for your normal movie. But it's good. I saw Black Sea. It was playing over at Winter Park. Mm-hmm. The only place it was playing in town. Part of how I came to the 300 number. It's the only theater in town that's playing in. And it's a solid sub-thriller. You know, it's,
okay,
so you got that subgenre kitchen, right? You got the subgenre. and on top of that, it's a men on a mission type movie because it's Jude Law is this guy who he gets together, he loses his job just because he's a sub driver at a salvage place, and they're like, yo, we got machines now, we don't need you, so you're fired. Huh. And he's like, god damn it, I have no money. So someone comes up with him and it's like, hey, you know, we got this, there's this downed Nazi sub, we think, at the bottom of the Black Sea. We could go down there with, you know, a sub and some shady money. A shady backer will give us the funds we need. We go down there with a crew and get that gold, yo, and get paid. And the whole movie is then a group of people trying to get paid. It has to be half Russian, half British, because it's a Russian sub. So they need Russian people to like tell him what everything says and you know, stuff like that. So they're forced to mix up the cultures like that. So that's part of it too. The culture crash in the sub, and it gets tense, man. It gets tense. It gets good. It goes for an emotional ending, you know, kind of. It tries to pull your heartstrings just a little bit, and it's not really there. It's more like they tried to stick the landing and they a little bit. Okay. That's the only thing about the movie, that they're hoping that your connection to the characters will be stronger than I think it really is. Because at the end of the day, even though they have a lot of characters and they try to differentiate them all, mm-hmm. they're still like, they're still pretty one-dimensional.
Okay.
But Jude Law's good. My boy Scoot's in it, Scoot McNairy.
Scoot?
The one American guy in it. There's a couple other recognizable British faces on there. And apparently the Russian guys that they got are all like megastars in Russia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So Black Sea, I think it's really good. Like when you see it pop up on the Redbox or HBO or something, it's definitely worth checking out. You'll be surprised by that one.
Nice.
Let's see what they said on the old
Tomato meter.
The Rotten Tomatoes. We're looking at an 83. Oh, you know what else is in it? Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, nice.
So it's actually a Scoot McNairy, Ben Mendelsohn reunion after killing them softly. 83% out of 105 reviews. Average rating of 6.6 out of 10. So what that says is, everyone pretty much, they like it, but no one's flipping out for it. Everyone's like, uh-huh. Yeah, it's good.
It's good, but it's not great.
Consensus. Black Sea may not be particularly deep. Oh, I see what they did there. I see what they did. But thanks to Kevin McDonald's judicious direction and a magnetic performance from Jude Law, it remains an efficiently well-crafted thriller. All of that is true. I would agree. Let's get into that top five, Drew.
Coming in at number five this week, Paddington. Had a weekend gross of $5.36 million, total of $57.2.
Sure, the very well-reviewed Paddington makes sense. It would make a little bit of money there.
Well,
also, not much in the way of family movies before this weekend.
Before this weekend.
We'll be getting to that in a little bit.
Coming in at number four this week, Seventh Son. Weekend gross of just over $7 million. Sims total.
Get out of here. No way the Seventh Son of the Seventh Son made $7 million
yes,
in the seventh week of the year. Is it the seventh week of the year, Jennifer? It might be.
That's a lot of sevens.
It's a lot of sevens.
End of the world, Chris. It'd be a lot better if it was a lot of sixes.
Yeah,
hail Satan.
Yeah, I think sevens are good numbers. Sevens are good numbers.
Well,
sixes are bad.
I mean, only 7 million. That's not a good number.
Oh well. Well, you know, I'm sure they adjusted their expectations when they made the movie, and then they, you know, the executive sat down. They're like, oh no, this is not good. They had to, you know, adjust their strategy. It sat on the shelf for a while, apparently. The movie was made a couple years ago. So I'm sure they're happy with it making any money at this point. It'll probably top out around $20 million. International, it'll make a couple of ducats.
A couple of ducks.
If I can get here, let's see what they say on... Drew, I'll let you take a guess. What do you think the Tamamamometer is on this one?
What, Seventh Son?
Seventh Son out of 71 reviews.
I'm going to say 17%.
10%.
Ooh.
You went with a 17. I like that. But actually, out of the 71 reviews, 7 of them are fresh.
That's a lot of 7,
this
man.
This is freaking me out.
It's a lot of 7.
This is freaking me out. Average rating, 3.9 out of 10. The consensus, because we didn't see this movie, obviously. Seventh Son squanders an excellent cast and some strange storyline ingredients, leaving audiences with one disappointingly dull fantasy adventure.
Dun, dun, dun.
What's up with Jeff Bridges lately? Like, I mean, I love the guy.
Doing some really weird stuff.
Not even weird stuff. How come he has to... He's always doing something with his voice now. You notice that since True Grit. True Grit, he was talking like this. And then in...
Why don't you just go dream with him and find out?
If he will tell me in his dreams, but then in his
dreams... might.
He'll just tell me to, like, relax,
dream
man.
DreamingWithJeff.com,
he'll just be like, relax.
Dream with him.
This episode is brought to you by DreamingWithJeff.com. No, it's not. They didn't give us any money for that.
Coming at number three this week.
I'm just saying, he's talking weird in movies lately. He needs to just talk normal and be an actor again. Okay, go.
Jupiter Ascending. Had a weekend gross of $19 million. It's a little... round of a number. Same as the total budget of 176.
So it's an estimate. So when the actuals come out tomorrow, it'll probably be like 18 something. You know, bump it up to 19 because it's not 20, but 19 sounds better than 18. It's not that good of a number considering the movie's costing them over $100 million plus all the marketing. And this one at 17, it'll probably top out around $40 million, maybe.
I only ended up starting to see marketing for it maybe like a month ago.
Yeah, well, that's average, like serious marketing, like TV commercials and stuff. But I mean, we've been seeing commercials for it since last year because it was delayed. You know, so it's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. So we went and saw it.
Yes, we did.
Jupiter ascends.
Uh-huh.
We ascended Jupiter.
Yes, we did.
And
I would love to ascend Jupiter.
Ascend, descend, whatever, do it all. Well, what do you got, Drew? Where you want to start with this one?
It was a beautiful mess, Chris.
Hot mess.
That's really what it boils down to. I mean, it you know, plot-wise, it had really... It was striving for something, and you could tell with some of the dialogue and some of the lines from the movie that it was striving to be this thing that it never turned out to be.
What did it want to be? It was like sort of...
It was weird, because there were some parts of the movie that I was like, really? They're going this direction?
Like what? Like
well,
what do you mean?
With all the...
All the stuff about the land rights?
The stuff about all the bureaucratic stuff
that,
in the movie.
The bureaucratic section?
Yes.
That was my favorite part.
The bureaucratic section was very weird and unnecessary.
It was unnecessary.
And,
it was totally unnecessary.
And also,
it was also
the whole like Cinderella aspect of it.
Yeah, it was definitely... they were even on the nose with that in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that.
It was like Neo mixed with Cinderella.
Like that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, I get the kitsch of it.
So it's like a space opera fairy tale story?
Yeah,
it really is. Bedtime story. A space opera bedtime story.
Not really a bedtime. It's a little violent to be a bedtime story.
Well, that's the thing. For even being a PG-13 movie, it's so much... These are the
fantasy
ones...
violence.
They made Speed Racer, and they were solving problems with gun violence in that movie. So,
And it takes some... I mean, the movie does
They can't tone down the violence.
For
they can't
as
do it.
Light as the movie can be at times, it takes some kind of dark turns.
It gets a little broody and heavy, here and there.
Sean Bean didn't die.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, Sean Bean doesn't die.
Spoiler alert, but Sean Bean doesn't die in this
Which
world.
I'm really...
That's a spoiler.
Don't know what to think about that.
That's crazy. I like the section where they had to go through like 7 minutes of going to different departments to get different
exposition forms
and trying to get her paperwork in order,
Her intergalactic paperwork.
Did you notice at the end there, the last person, the verifier thing, you knew who that was? It all comes together there.
That guy.
He was on there. He had a lot of makeup on.
He looked familiar, and he was doing
a voice.
Yeah.
He's not in movies very often. Usually when he is, they're Monty Python movies because that was Terry Gilliam. That whole section was an homage to Brazil.
Okay.
Because that's all Brazil. Like the paperwork. The horrors of bureaucracy of a system that's so big. It just the amount of paperwork to do anything in such a system is a nightmare. And like you said, unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary.
7 minute, just jaunt down this alley. Get down to the alley, turn around, come back. Back to the story.
Yeah. It was kind of weird. The storytelling was kind of done. You can definitely tell this is a post Cloud Atlas movie. As opposed to a pre Cloud Atlas movie for the Wachowskis.
What do you mean? How?
Stylistically, before...
It did feel very... parts of it did, kind of...
Well, and only because of the way that they decided to tell the story. Because they were telling it from so many different perspectives that it kind of had that jumpy feel.
Jumping around between the... Channing Tatum as Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
Essentially. Pretty much. They didn't want to call him that, but that's what he was. Dog the Bounty Hunter. With Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Jupiter Jones.
Yes.
Is a silly name.
Uh-huh.
With Sean Bean. So it's them, and then it jumps to... you got the three different parties of the House of Abraxas, was that? I was expecting Santana to start playing.
Instead you just have Eddie Redmayne looking all crazy.
Eddie Redmayne, who's always talking like this, is a guy who loves that planet. It annoyed me. His delivery, I understood what he was going for. Yeah. He's like, he's so powerful that he doesn't even have to raise his voice. Mm-hmm. Then theoretically, the few times he does raise his voice should be terrifying. But instead, he's just really annoying when he's talking like this.
I didn't mind.
And it's kind of putting me to sleep. And then when he's like, when he does scream, it's like, oh, you're so cute. You're so adorable, Eddie Redmayne.
He did have those crazy eyes, though.
Crazy eyes.
It looks like a mix between crazy eyes and his... Stephen Hawking smile.
He does.
At one point in time, it looked like he was going for a Stephen Hawking smile. Yeah.
Like his face is all hurt?
Yeah.
If this was a video podcast, I would have offended a lot of people related.
Anyway, but I mean, it was a beautiful mess. Is what it was.
I like the creature work.
I like the creature
work.
The creature work was awesome. The intergalactic species were awesome.
And it all looked great.
The whole space opera was awesome. It looked fucking phenomenal.
The Dogs the Bounty Hunter's gravity boots are pretty dope.
I want Channing Tatum's gravity boots so bad.
It's like
I want to be able to rail grind stuff after things explode behind me and I'm flying through midair, kind of.
You're pretty much rollerblading through the sky.
Through the sky, yeah. I want to rollerblade through the sky with Channing Tatum boots.
Like that first chase sequence through the Chicago skyline.
That was fucking crazy.
Like right when the sun is coming up. That was...
I mean, the movie was fucking gorgeous.
So I think that's the thing. The Wachowskis, like, when they make a movie, like, they just know technically how to make a movie, how to put together a scene and how to make it look great and how to convey action.
They know
design.
Design as well, very well. Yeah. They know how to create a cohesive universe.
Yeah, everything fits together.
They just need to work on their storytelling.
It's the story. it's the stories that they pick, I guess. But this one, they decide to tell this story.
Even still, I love their choice of story picking. They pick great stories to tell.
They went space opera fairy tale on this
but
one.
But they just don't tell the stories. I mean,
that was weird.
Maybe with the exception of Cloud Atlas, because I don't care what anybody says, mm-hmm. Cloud Atlas is probably my favorite Wachowski movie.
Okay. Word?
It's just so grand. And somehow they manage to rein it all in and tell a good story. Because the way that movie went, all the stories, I mean, yes, you keep getting little bits of this story, little bits of that story, little bits of this story. But it's all one story. All the stories start together. They all rise together. Mm. They all crest together. They all fall together.
Yep, yep.
And everything happens together.
It's pretty amazing.
So it works.
Which is different from the book structure. The book has its own inventive structure, but they don't do that for the movie. They do their own thing like that.
And it worked. And I think for as much as everybody else hates the movie, I don't know why. I fucking love it. And I really, and for all intents and purposes, I mean, I like Jupiter Ascending just as much as the second and third Matrix movie.
Okay, that's where you put it on that scale there. Yeah, I guess I'll put it around there. Yeah, because I see what they're trying to go for. It just doesn't really like.
It just, for some reason, it looked like they maybe probably could have used another 6 months in the editing room.
Maybe. Or at the screenplay level, maybe. Trying to work out the connections between the characters a little more.
Yeah.
Maybe trying to punch a couple things up. I thought it was, being a fan of the Wachowskis, you know, I thought it was good. But I wouldn't be like, oh, you got to go out and go see this movie.
If
it's one worth watching if you're into movies like that, into sci-fi type things.
The way I see it,
it may not blow your socks off, if you're
into sci-fi and action, mm-hmm. you should definitely see this movie.
Yeah, because
it has both.
Whether
you should see it on, you know, a huge screen or in 3D.
We didn't see it in 3D.
That's up to you and how you prefer to watch movies.
There are definitely a few moments in there where you could tell, like, oh, yeah, they were planning on 3D for this one, for this shot.
Yeah.
For these series of shots.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
because it has it all. It's got crazy aliens. It's got fun technology. It's got fucking mech warfare. It's got
they love that mech warfare.
I mean, it's got it all.
It does. It has a lot.
It's even got a little bit of romantic comedy in there.
Throwing a little bit there. I feel like this is a movie that maybe, you know, the women will like a little bit because it does focus a bit on the romance.
It definitely focuses a lot more.
You got your lady lead.
Definitely. Yeah. It's definitely, you can definitely feel a female touch in the movie.
Interesting that this was the first Wachowski's movie at the end, it said written and directed by the Wachowskis.
Yes.
But for the last one said Andy and Lana.
Yes.
Before that, I think it was just brothers, or did it say Larry, Andy and Larry?
I don't know.
For the one Speed Racer and back, I can't remember. But this one was the first one, just said the Wachowskis.
Yes.
I thought that was cute.
It was.
Okay, so. Yeah, would you see it in the theater? Would you recommend people see it in the theater? I think we pretty much said, like, you know, it depends on what you're looking for, what you're into.
I mean, if you are really into sci-fi and action and stuff like that, then why not see it on the biggest screen possible? I'm always an advocate. If it's the kind of movie that you would like, go see it on the biggest screen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, if not, I mean, you're definitely going to miss some of the grandeur, you know,
mm-hmm.
on a smaller screen. So.
Yeah. I mean, don't try not to watch it like on your phone, people.
Yeah, no.
You know, at least watch it on a TV or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. All right, let's see what they say here on the thermometer. Ooh, we're not looking good here. A bit of a bloodbath. Out of 153 reviews.
That's a lot.
Only 34 of them are positive. Ooh. So that's 22%. Ooh. Average rating, 4.1 out of 10. I would go like...
I'd go a little higher.
I'd go like 5.5.
I was somewhere around the middle. Somewhere around 6.
Pleasing to the eye, but narratively befuddled, Jupiter Ascending delivers another visually thrilling misfire from the Wachowskis.
Like I said, it's a beautiful mess.
The Wachowskis. So that was number 3 for the weekend?
Yep.
What was number 2?
American Sniper.
Yeah,
another $24 million for a total of $282. Oh, on a side note, Jupiter Ascending opened up $32 million internationally.
Okay.
So it's bigger internationally than it is here.
That makes sense. In the States. That makes sense.
So, yeah, American Sniper for a total of $282 million.
Goddamn. A lot of money for American Sniper. Reading that book now, and it is not good. I mean, just written poorly.
Well, they turned it to a... Apparently, apparently, at least a money-making movie.
Apparently, they didn't, though. Apparently, the guy who wrote the screenplay, he interviewed Chris Kyle on his own, came up with his screenplay while this book was being written.
So they were written side by side.
They were written side by side. They were concurrent projects. So I might use that as an excuse to stop reading it because it is just... Oh, God. First Blood. I read First Blood recently for the first time. The movie based on the first Rambo movie is based on First Blood, that book. And that book says way more about PTSD and it says it in more well-written fashion than... Anyway. So what's number one?
And the number one movie of the week. SpongeBob SquarePants. Sponge Out of Water.
Sponge Out of Water.
Weekend gross $56 million. Same total, budget of 74.
There you go. I mean, the only other family movie out was the other one we were talking about. What was that one?
That was the
number five movie of the weekend.
That was the Paddington.
Paddington. SpongeBob, way more known in America, way more popular with the kids. Oh, TV show still on. So there you go. Out of 59 reviews, 75% positive with an average rating of 6.3 out of 10. The SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, won't win over many viewers who aren't fans of the show, but for the converted, it's another colorful burst of manic fun, which is what it looked like.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, it looked like SpongeBob SquarePants in the second movie. And the first one was freaking awesome.
First one's crazy. First one is crazy ridiculous. This one, we'll see. I'll probably end up getting around to it on DVD or something like that eventually. Okay, here we go. New movie is coming out. On DVD, we have Addicted. Remember the trailers for that one? That was the one where that chick was like a successful businesswoman and she had a husband and a family, but she was addicted to sex and she kept like sleeping with dudes and stuff.
No.
That's coming out. Just in time for Valentine's Day. Kill the Messenger comes out. Remember that one?
Sweet. Yes.
Alexander in a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
Ah, yeah.
That was Steve Carell's in that, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. Force Majeure is a Scandinavian film, Swedish, Finnish, something like that, where the setup is interesting. It's a family. They're on a ski trip, and they're at one point, the whole family, husband, wife, two kids, they're chilling on a veranda at the ski resort next to a mountain, and there's a controlled avalanche happening next to them, but then the avalanche is getting closer and closer to them, and then they're like, oh, shit. They start freaking out.
Yeah, I remember the trailer for that.
Yeah, and then the dad, grabs his keys and his phone, and he runs away and he leaves his family behind, and then the avalanche stops before it hits them. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the movie is the fallout from him being a coward. Yes. And abandoning his family in the face of an avalanche.
Sounds like fun.
And one of our favorite movies of the year comes out on DVD this week of 2014, I should say. Nightcrawler.
Oh, it was a good one. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
Nightcrawler is great, guys. Check that one out. Let's come out in theaters, dude.
Do we care about some of these? I mean, I don't know. This is a movie.
Just name them. We'll see if we care.
Old Fashioned.
I don't know what that is.
Exactly. What We Do in the Shadows.
That's the one that Billy mentioned a couple weeks ago. The vampire comedy with the dudes from Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yeah. We saw the
trailer at the Enzian.
Yeah, so that's coming out this weekend.
So we'll be to be at the Enzian, I think, at the end of February.
Awesome.
According to their schedule.
Check it out. Looks good.
Yeah, it does. Looks funny. And Billy recommended it during one of his the movies.
There's some musical with Anna Kendrick the last 5 years.
Another Anna Kendrick musical. What the hell is that all about?
She can sing.
I guess she can.
Tiny
Woman.
Kingsman, the Secret Service comes out. That's going to be fun.
There you go. New Rated Matthew R. Vaughn. That's going to be crazy. The Red Band trailer is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Shows off some of the cussing and the violence.
And then for your, mine, and everyone's Valentine's weekend pleasure,
uh-huh.
50 Shades of Grey.
It's going to clean up, people. It's going to make so much money. We'll talk about that a little bit in the second half of the show. So let's take a break here. Crespo Disco time. Mentioned this a couple weeks ago. John Carpenter put out an album called Lost Themes, and it's a bunch of music he did back in the day. Wasn't published, wasn't used for movies, but it all sounds like John Carpenter. It's straight from They Live or Escape from New York, stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Sweet.
So I got a song from there called Abyss. Enjoy it, guys. Abyss. We'll be back. Not The Abyss.
Just Abyss.
Just Abyss. We'll be back in the second half of the show. Drew, you ready?
Born ready.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Questo Show.
All right, here we go. Second half of the show. That's right, episode 109 is back on the rails. Here we are. I'm Chris Crespo. Oh my God, I forgot to get a beer. Drew, introduce yourself.
What's up? I'm Drew Cogburn. We're back. Cinema Crespo Diesel. Apparently, we're on the rails. I don't know what the hell that means, but
it means before we were flying blind on a rocket cycle.
Okay, and now?
Now we're back on the rails. Things okay. Are back in order. Here we go. You heard that? Heard a little bit of that John Carpenter there?
It was all
bow, 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 bow. Dino, 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 bow, bow. Stuff like that.
Bow.
I love shit like that. So good. More movies should have music like that in them.
Bow.
Actually, more movies should just have Drew doing that. Just that. Speaking of actually droning electronic music for movies and projects and stuff, you know Moby? Has first of all, do you know Moby?
Yes, I know who Moby is.
You know who he is.
I'm aware of Moby.
You're aware of him.
Yes.
But you don't know him.
Know him like as a person? No.
Okay. But you know him as an entity.
Entity.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, Moby the entity has a website called like Moby Critiques.
Okay.
And he has just made a huge swath of his music library available to use for free, royalty free, no fee, no
wherever
payment, no nothing. Not wherever you want.
It's for rules,
you know, non-profit, yeah. Short film, indie filmmakers, stuff yeah. like that. Pepsi can't come around and grab some of his music and use yeah. it to sell their shit, right? But it's there. So, you know, a lot of people that are listening to the show, they're listening because we talk about movies. You're into movies. That's why you're listening. How's it going, guys? We should all be friends. A lot of the people that are listening want to make movies, and music is a very important part.
Yes.
And if you're fine with, you know, that style of music, because Moby does have a certain style, mm-hmm. you know, but some of it, it's a whole range of things there that he offers. So there you go. Free plug for free music on the interwebs. That Moby stuff. There's a bunch of other websites you can go to. I just thought that was really cool.
It is. It's awesome.
That was pretty stuff. Let's get some plugs out of the way. ChrisCrespo.com. Rate us. Review us on iTunes. Hit up the show on Twitter at CrespoDiso. On Facebook, Cinema CrespoDiso. Drew.
At Antihero419, all over the interwebs.
All over those webbers, the internet webbers. Okay, so where we gonna start? We got so many ways. I guess we could just jump right into Billy D's set to the movies.
All
right. You wanna do that? All right, here we go. Hold on, where's that thing over here? All right, Drew, here we go.
Hello, friends. It's been a long, cold week here in NYC, but the Fort Awesome Soloplex remains operational. Billy D's Death at the Movies soldiers on. This week, I fired up Netflix to revisit a favorite by an old favorite, Paul Verhoeven's 1997 science fiction splatterfest, Starship Troopers.
Nice.
I've loved this movie since I saw it in the theater, and similar to Verhoeven's 87 masterpiece, RoboCop, it has grown with me. The satire and the social commentary of Starship Troopers have become more relevant today than ever before. This is not a dumb action movie, and nothing is accidental. From the propaganda pieces to the lack of body armor, Verhoeven is firing on all cylinders here. It's hard to believe that there are people out there going into college that haven't seen this. Stay rough, Roughnecks. Billy D.
That makes sense. I mean, a lot of people that listen to the show are younger. Damn, been there 20 years since that movie came out.
I cannot believe that there are children out there. There are people out there in the world that yeah. I may or may not be conversing with that have not seen Starship Troopers.
Yeah, I mean,
that blows my mind. It's one of those, like, you must see this movie. It's saying so many things, but at the same time, it's nothing but sex and violence.
It's so silly and ridiculous.
It's
Paul Verhoeven.
I know, it's awesome.
It's Paul Verhoeven. It's the guy who gave us RoboCop.
Yes!
RoboCop. Just think about that.
Yes.
The guy's a crazy filmmaker. Starship Troopers probably his last great movie, maybe. It's possible.
Yeah.
It's been a while since that's been around.
Yeah.
They've made like three more of them, too. Four more of them.
Neil Patrick Harris is in the movie. That was like one of his first big breaks after the whole Doogie Howser thing.
He wasn't all Doogie Howser.
Yeah. That was him. And he wasn't Doogie Howser, and he also wasn't NPH at that point in time. He was just Neil Patrick Harris.
That's right. He was just some guy.
Yeah.
Now he's like fucking Neil Patrick. Now he's NPH.
Yeah.
He's the Oscar host.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy how that works. So, yeah, Starship Trooper. That was a good one, Billy. Good job, dude. All right, let's go ahead and then jump into some emails. You got the email there?
Yes, I do have an email here from Christine London. Linden?
Okay. Let's see what this one says.
Hi, I hope this email finds you well. We are currently looking for sites willing to run our articles. We have a team of writers who will ensure the article. Seriously?
Yeah, keep going. I want people to know this is the kind of stuff that I'm getting.
All right. We are currently looking for sites willing to run our articles. We have a team of writers who will ensure the article adds value to both the site and its readers. Is this something that might interest you? We are also adding a posting fee of $100 for your time and effort.
$100!
Our writers will create an engaging piece of content. It will also contain references to our client. You have full creative control on the article.
Huh.
Send us a topic suggestion, and our writers will build a post around it. Please let me know if you're interested. Senior Outreach Executive Christine London. Christine London at letsgetwise.co.uk.
The Brits. This is like the fourth or fifth such email I've gotten regarding chriscrespo.com.
That's $500 you could have made.
No, it's $100 I could have made.
Well, it's the fifth one at $100 a pop.
No, it's not. The first one I got was for like $20.
Okay. Well, you're getting up there, Chris.
The second one was for like $60.
I want to give you $100. Apparently, you're getting some clicks.
Apparently, if I keep holding out, that number's going to keep going up for them to put some paid content on my website. And to have it, here's the thing, I have to pass it off as
yours,
as content.
Yeah.
Not even necessarily mine. It'll say who it's written by.
Yeah, but still, but it'll be passed off as content.
It's supposed to look like a post on my website. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out for that, people. Keep an eye out for that sponsored content type shit. It's all over the internet. People are whores, and they'll do that shit super cheap.
And what, so you're saying you're not a whore? Or you're just an expensive whore?
I'm an expensive whore.
Okay.
It's really expensive.
Just wanted to make sure.
I'm very high class, high price. Not yeah. high class.
No, I was about to say, Chris, you may be a high-priced whore. You are not high class.
Right. I'm the Julia Roberts of whores right now, of internet website whores. Even that's not narrow enough. Of movie website internet. Anyway. So yeah, $100. And you know what also is interesting about this one? The last one I got, they were like, we will write the article. We know what's on your website, but yeah. we'll write an article. Here's an example of something that we did. It's all sex-based.
Yeah.
It's all like, here's, like the last one was all like, we would do like the six sexiest sex scenes for movies or something like that. You know, and I'm like, no, yeah, it's just. One of them, to get more information to find out how they did it and what kind of content would put on there, I strung them along for a minute. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm totally interested. What do you got? Blah, blah, blah. And then I got, then after a while, they kept hitting me up, waiting for your reply. It was like, oh, fuck you guys, man. You get such a bunch of assholes.
Internet pimps,
yes. Man, I'm my own pimp. I don't need them to pimp me. I'll pimp my own self.
All right. This next batch of stories comes from Rage Against Twit on Twitter.
That's some unfiltered, unadulterated truth for you right
and
there.
And remember, Chris, it ain't news until it's new.
All right. What's up, Rage Against Twit?
All right. Neon Demon confirms Keanu Reeves in female-driven story.
Yeah, this one is the new Nicholas Winding Refn film.
He makes some really fucking odd movies.
He makes
Chris.
Crazy movies. His last one was Only God Forgives. One before that was Drive. One before that was Valhalla Rising.
All three of those movies are batshit insane.
This movie, like you said, female-driven. Nicholas Winding Refn said he's been dominated by women his whole life, sisters and mother, and uh-huh. just his whole upbringing. And so it's a combination of that and his love for L.A. when he made Drive and how yeah. much he enjoyed making a movie there. And he wants to recapture that kind of electric feeling of Los Angeles. But with some sort of like crazy female-led thing, I guess a bunch of ladies are going to torture Keanu Reeves some way.
All right, well, sorry, Keanu.
But it's cool. Keanu's working with Nicholas Winding Refn.
That'll be weird.
That'll be fun.
Yeah,
looking forward to that for sure. Anything else?
Yeah, something that I may want to check out in December. Apparently,
mm-hmm.
Sony is turning this awesome sci-fi comic book into a movie.
Wait, in December? What does it say?
Yeah. It says that Drewster may want to check out Descender. Not December.
Descender.
So apparently there's a movie based on an awesome sci-fi comic book.
But the comic book hasn't come out yet, is what I read. The comic book comes out in March. So
it's already been optioned? Wow.
It already got optioned, which is kind of a big deal. But then when I read the description, I'm like, this almost sounds like Automata. It's about a cyborg type thing. It's a world where a bunch of robots and cyborgs have been made and they're deployed but now humans have turned on the robots for some reason because they're afraid of the uprising. So they're destroying all the robots throughout the galaxy. There's this one robot at the center of the whole thing who has like the most consciousness of all of them. He's a Johnny Five, you know, Wally, whatever. It just seems like very redundant in terms of sci-fi stuff. But apparently it's so well done, Sony jumped all over optioning it and making it into a big-ass fucking movie.
Oh, well, there we go.
Kind of like Chappie, you know?
Yeah.
But again, the whole... Uh-huh. What does Hugh Jackman say? The problem with
Artificial intelligence is way too unpredictable.
Way too unpredictable.
And every time he says that, the only thing I think in my head is, no, it's the problem with any intelligence is that it's way too not just artificial. Humans are just as unpredictable as this artificial intelligence you're speaking of.
There you go. All natural intelligence.
Any intelligence.
Oh, speaking of intelligence, here we go.
Here we get some lack of.
This doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. It's Drewster Cogburn versus the world. This is an intelligence, Drew. This is not an intelligence test.
This is a crapshoot.
This is a trivia test. This is the other part of your brain that only gets you out of tough jams if said tough jam is trying to pass one of Curtis Earth's famous trivia games. You can check out Curtis Earth all over town. EarthTrivia.com. He did not pay for that. We're just throwing sponsors away. Throwing away all this money.
Look, we could have gotten paid $100 for that.
We could have got paid $100 for hoard out content. We could have got money from the Dreaming with Jeff. But we turned that down.
So what you're saying is...
Turn on those millions.
So what you're really saying is you're not a whore. You're not an internet whore. You're more of an internet slut because you just give it up for free as opposed to getting paid for it.
Yeah.
So you're an internet slut.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. When you put it that way...
Chris Crespo, internet slut.
Okay, let's see here. We got. We're just doing some straight up movie trivia for this one. I'm just asking some questions. You give me the answer. No theme, no nothing. You ready?
Yes.
Number one, who was the first female monster to appear in a movie?
I'm gonna go with Bride of Frankenstein.
That is correct. Number two, in the first two Jaws films, what was the police chief's name?
Sequest DSV.
Sequest is incorrect. We all know who you're talking about. Martin Brody. Chief Brody. Number three. Excluding the word the. What word appears the most in Bond film titles?
A.
No. Never.
Oh, yeah. Never die this. Never do this. Never, blah, blah, blah. Tomorrow never does stuff.
Yeah. Number four. Charlie Chaplin insured what part of his body? His feet. Total other opposite end of his body. His feet. Number five. Jack Palance. Old man Jack Palance. He won a Best Supporting Actor in 1991. Oscar. For what movie?
No idea.
City Slickers. Number six. Tommy Lee Jones. Made his debut in what movie?
He was really young, too. Picture it. I don't remember what movie it is, though.
Love Story. The infamous Love Story. Number seven. Alfonso D'Abruzzo changed his name to what? He's a famous actor. He's a famous actor now. Alfonso D'Abruzzo.
Brad Pitt.
No, Alan Alda.
Oh.
Alan Alda was apparently ashamed of his Italian heritage. Wanted to white himself up. Did so successfully. Number eight.
You mean like the Sheens did?
Just like the Sheens. Martin Sheen was like, I'm half Mexican. How am I supposed to get work here? Number eight. In Star Wars, who is the first character to speak? Now we're talking Star Wars, original, 1970-something, episode 4. Drew's thinking of the whole movie in his head.
Isn't it his Luke's uncle?
No, it is not Uncle Owen. I'm sorry. It is C-3PO.
Oh.
Number nine. What movie features the villain Baron Noopsy?
No idea.
My sweet brother Noopsy. Does that help?
Nope.
The Golden Child.
Ah, there we go.
Golden Child. Played by Charles Dance.
Yeah.
Charles Dance, who look exactly the same 30, 40 years later, which is the only horror film to be nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards.
The Thing.
The Exorcist. You got the part right, but you got the rest of it wrong. 1 out of 10, Drew.
That was a good one.
That was interesting. All right, we got any more there from Rage Against the Machine? Yeah, so you should check out. You should check out The Sender, Drew, and then report back to us and let us know.
Apparently, y'all need to get on this 50 Shades. Online movie ticket sales were gigantic in January.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
I'm not going to see that garbage piece of shit.
We're not going, Drew? We're not going to go?
No.
I thought you bought me tickets already.
If you want to go watch this fucking garbage, nonsense, wannabe BDSM porno thing that they're trying to throw on the American pot, just because the ladies like reading about it and fantasizing about it in their heads doesn't mean they necessarily want to see it on screen, or does it mean that it will necessarily convey the same emotions once put on screen?
Yeah, I mean, different mediums, books and movies. You know, there's a reason why certain stories translate well. Certain stories have to be changed. Apparently, the book, from what I've read, is like 50% sex scenes. Mm-hmm. Can't do that in a movie unless you wanted to be...
Well, they could if they wanted to call it The English Patient.
Or if you wanted to not be released in theaters because it's all slapped with NC-17 all over everything, you know?
But The English Patient wasn't.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about... A lot of... I'm talking 50%.
I think that was just because it was Ralph Fiennes.
Like, if the movie's 2 hours long, an hour of it is sex. That ain't happening.
It's called a porn.
How pornographic does it get, though? I mean,
they're not going to show...
They're not going to show any genitalia. They're not going to do any of the penetrations.
No penetration, no genitalia.
I mean, hell, the MPAA, they limit the number of humps you see. When they start humping away, it's like 1, 2, 3. Cut it. You got 4 humps in there.
Only 4.
You want an NC-17, you cut out that 4th hump. Yeah. It's too many. Too much humping.
I just think it's going to be silly.
The thing that...
I mean, I almost want to see the movie just to see what the fuck they're putting in this nonsense. But at the same time, there's... I mean, you know, I believe I stand on maybe some sort of moral high ground where I just refuse to watch this movie.
Cultural moral high ground.
Yeah.
The thing is on Fandango, they're reporting that it's breaking records. It's like whatever the fastest selling R-rated title, whatever that means, that's what 50 Shades is right now.
Okay.
They also had similar numbers for American Sniper. Mm-hmm. When that was getting ready to come out, they're like, whoa, we're selling a shit ton of tickets for this movie, and that ended up having a huge opening weekend. Yeah. Same thing's happening with the 50 Shades. Okay. 50 Shades almost came out same weekend, originally scheduled to come out the same weekend as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, man.
It would have been a possibility that weekend would have been won, quote unquote, won by 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, yeah, because the dudes would have taken their chicks to see the movie as opposed to hanging out with their buddies going to see Guardians.
Would they have? I guess. It would have. The reason that it didn't happen at that time was because they had to do some rewriting, and the lead dropped out, the guy from the Sons of Anarchy and Pacific Rim.
Yes.
He was cast, then he dropped out. Then they got this other guy.
Whoever this guy is.
Whoever this guy is. I don't know. Looks like a reject at a Superman audition.
Yeah, he kind of does. Yeah.
It's like Henry Cavill's... is that guy...
Retarded half-brother?
Yeah, it's like, damn it, Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill exists. Damn it. That screws me.
Yeah,
that's like
much.
That's like how Josh Lucas felt when Bradley Cooper showed up. He was like, God damn it.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, it's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, so. I was surprised Chris Evans kept working after Bradley Cooper came out.
Yeah, well, he's got that whole... Nah,
now he's got that whole Superman...
He's secured that superhero thing. Yeah,
exactly.
Got that up on... Bradley Cooper's got the whole I've been nominated 3 times in a row thing.
Yeah, well...
First guy to do that since, like, Brando or some crazy shit or Bogart.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that never happened. Someone be nominated 3 times in a row or something.
Fucking Bradley Cooper.
It's like...
It's really funny, too, because when I think of Bradley Cooper, I think of two things first come to mind. A... Making out with Michael Ian Black in Wet Hot American Summer.
I'm sure.
And B, the guy from The Fucking Hangover.
I'm
and sure. To think that he's being nominated for Academy Awards 3 years in a row, it's just like, what the fuck?
If you told that to Michael Ian Black, you'd be delighted.
He would.
You'd be like, oh, that's fantastic. That's just what we wanted to do to this guy's career.
Yep. Well, hey, he's about to do it to his own career out of his own volition all over again.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Wet Hot American Summer colon first day of camp or something. Uh-huh. Oh, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome.
Good times there. Is there anything else there from a good old...
No, that's all. That's all. Everything else was... I mean, there's other stuff, but you X'd out. Apparently, it does not meet your strict criteria or standards.
He gave us like 50 stories or something. I had to cut some of them out. We'll be here all day, man. Plus, I got some other stories that I already pulled. Plus, he did send us a tweet, mini movie review. You guys, if you want to give us your own movie reviews, you can hit us up. Like, that was cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com or on Twitter @crespodiso. Rage Against Twit said, Horns.
Ah, yes, the Radcliffe movie.
It's bad. Underwhelming. Three words. That's all you had. All
right. Well, I guess it's not on my radar anymore.
It's bad. Underwhelming. Also hitting us up with a review and a question at Mr. Nadathon.
Yes.
Versus review. Kill List. Drew, you still got to see Kill List.
I know, I haven't seen it.
You got to see it. I like his style. He just throws out a bunch of adjectives. Almost word association type of thing. Free association. Here we go. Engaging. Mysterious. Fucked. Antichrist. Suitable for all ages.
What?
I think that last part might have been a bit of a jokey joke there. Yeah, I don't think it really is suitable.
So, but I like Antichrist. I'm down.
You might be. I'm telling you, Drew. I told you after I saw it, there's some aspects to this movie I think you'll really appreciate.
Enjoy,
that might be one of them. and then he asks, he's got a question here. Best love stories? Besides Twilight, because everyone already knows it's the best representation of love. And it's true. You know, Twilight.
Fuck you. Greatest romance movie of all time. Aptly titled True
Love Story.
Romance.
Oh, True Romance, yes.
That is the greatest love story of all time.
It is quite damn good. It's good. Got the hooker with a heart of gold. You got the
fuck up who turns into the hero.
The fuck up who loves comic books and Sonny Chiba movies turns into the hero. Cross country adventure. You got cocaine and money and
Christopher Walken.
Valky Bartokomus.
Yep. Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper and that whole scene, that bit there. So crazy. Fucking fantastic.
That ridiculousness.
Brad Pitt's the stoner on the couch. James Gandolfini beats the shit out of Patricia Arquette.
And Michael Rappaport's taking a shit.
Yeah. I mean.
That's it. That's your romance right there.
Written by Quentin Tarantino.
Directed by Tony Scott.
Yeah.
I would say it's that and The Fountain, because that one spans hundreds of years.
That's probably the most epic love story of all time.
True romance, most craziest.
Yes, and The Fountain. Yes, I would actually, you know what? Those are the two greatest romance movies ever.
And speaking of Twilight, I would say if you're into vampire romance, you got that Only Lovers Left Alive.
Or,
the original Twilight.
Let me in.
Let the right one in.
Let the right one in.
It's coming of age plus a little romantic.
Yeah,
thing,
a little bit of love there at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. There you go. Good stuff. A lot of lovely movies out there about love. Lovey dovey. They all can't be.
Seriously, you should watch True Romance on Valentine's Day.
High Fidelity.
That's what I'm doing. Saturday, Chris, we're watching True Romance.
Not 50 Shades.
No, we're watching True Romance instead.
And that's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
So help me, Drew.
So help Drew. Help you, Drew. Uh-oh. I don't like what that implies. So we're getting a sequel to Neighbors.
Okay.
The sequel no one asked for to the movie that no one asked for, yet everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
Neighbors is good.
I like the Dave Franco.
Dave Franco was fun. Zac Efron was actually not bad.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen, you know, Rose Byrne. But as much as I liked it, I'm not really anxious to go back and revisit these characters. Nope. And see, it's like I was fine with that being a one-off and walk away from it. Mm-hmm. But when it makes almost $300 million worldwide, probably cost them $30 mm-hmm. million to make.
No.
Neighbors 2 is happening, summer 2016, and everyone is back. Rogen, Byrne, Efron. Same director, Nick Stoller, who did something I can't remember. And Evan Goldberg and Rogen, again, you know, producing and working on a screenplay together. Here's the plot, according to movies.com. Rogen and Byrne enlist Efren's help when a rowdy sorority moves in next door. Replace dick jokes with vagina jokes. Cast that fat blonde chick that was in 22 Jump Street. Got yourself a movie right there. Maybe throw in a little bit of Rebel Wilson because America can't seem to stop loving her.
Yeah.
Who? Just I wish I found her funny because she's fucking everywhere. Yeah. I don't find her funny. Hey, our neighbor suit's happy.
But she's fat and English.
She's fat and English, and she's like always out of breath. She was best in Pain and Gain.
Yes, she was.
Where even then she was just doing, I'm fat and English.
Yep.
And I look black guys.
Yes, she does. She very much does.
They franchise everything, man.
What else is getting a franchise?
Well, unlike
Cinema Crest Benicio, we franchise. We're franchised.
Cinema Crest Benicio 2. The franchising is coming out this summer.
Are we getting a Spanish language franchise? We're what's going on here?
We're getting a Spanish language spinoff. We're getting a TV deal. 22-episode deal on Discovery Channel. So
Surprisingly Human? No, that's Animal Planet. Damn it.
Oh, was it Animal Planet? Maybe it was Animal Planet. We have to replace all the movie talk with puppy talk. We're doing a puppy
and
show.
The microphones with kittens.
And the microphones with kittens. We're talking about puppies, and we're talking speaking into kittens. Kittens about puppies.
Look, we're calling it Kittens into Puppies.
Kittens into Puppies. That's going to be our next, our first video podcast. Unlike Neighbors, there was a movie we saw recently where when it was done, I was like, oh, I could go for another movie featuring this guy.
And that was?
John Wick.
Yes, I want John Wick 2.
I want some more John Wick. But I want John Wick like James Bond movies. I don't want John Wick 2 to flow out of the story from the first one. I don't want to involve any of the same people.
No. I just want to know that John Wick is still around being a badass. And this time, they kill his kitten?
They don't even have to go the same approach. I'm saying
No. I want them to go the same approach.
No, but
I want them to be so like every time. So
but then it becomes Taken. Then it becomes Taken, and then by the time they make John Wick 3 or 4, it's like
it's a pig or a bird.
No, they kill his pony, or they kill this. they beat him up, and they kill this goldfish. He got out of his coma. He's like, "Where's my goldfish?
Yes.
I must go murdering again." Yes. No, I wanted to be more serious in terms of I want to be like James Bond, where each movie is a different whole different thing, and they're working on it. Who's this? The head of Lionsgate, the CEO of Lionsgate. He said to Variety, quote, "We see John Wick as a multiple title action franchise."
Awesome. I like it.
I would like to see characters coming back and like he has to go back to that crazy hotel and Lance Reddick is still working at that.
Yes, Lance Reddick at the hotel.
Yeah, things like that are cool, you know, but James Bond style.
Yeah.
And I think that would work.
Yeah, I did.
It's really cool. Lionsgate, you know, they did the initial Lord of the Rings run.
Uh-huh. Right? Which was awesome.
Get all that ton of money. And then they got that franchise fear. Like, they've been trying to make them franchises ever since.
I'll see if John Wick franchise.
John Wick franchise is cool. They have another franchise that's ending. And they want to try to extend it somehow. I'm talking about them Hunger Games. Lionsgate also does Hunger Games. Can you go check that at the door? We just got a knock at the door. I'm wondering who this might be. This might be a specific person that I'm thinking of. Here we go. About to find out. Yeah. Yeah, but it's this guy. Hey, how's it going, buddy? Hey, good to see you, sir. Good to see you. No, it's okay. No, I'm not going to throw him on a spot there. We'll be right back in 1 second, guys. It's weird. I don't have like a sound effect or anything in there. Like a boing, 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 or a wah, 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 wah. So even though we just stopped the show for like 8 hours.
Uh-huh, and now we're back.
And we left. We went on a tour. We actually went to Tampa. Came back. It was craziness. But listening to it, it sounds like instantaneous.
It does.
It's crazy.
It's the power of post-production.
So, Lionsgate, they're making more Hunger Games movies. And what they're going to do, they're going to try to find ways to do sequels and prequels. Even if the original writer of the books isn't involved. They're like, fuck it. We're just making these movies because we have the right to make them. We have the rights. So, if you're a Hunger Games fan out there, there you go.
Yeah.
More Hunger Games movies.
Fantastic.
I don't really care about more Hunger Games movies. So.
No, I mean, it's based on a book. It's only so far you can go, you know?
That's what I'm saying. When they're done with the book, they even split that third book into two movies, thanks to Harry Potter. That's the way now. But they want to make even more. They want to make prequels about the first games or the original Uprising or whatever. Who cares about that stuff?
I sure as hell do not.
A lot of other people. So news announced recently that the Deadpool movie is getting made.
I'm looking forward to that.
They even have a release date in 2016 sometime. February 12th, 2016.
Sounds good to me.
1 year from now, there will be a Deadpool movie in theaters, guaranteed.
It better be
from Fox.
Fucking rated R.
It is guaranteed to be rated R.
Oh, it might actually be a Deadpool movie worth watching, Chris.
Now, Ryan Reynolds confirmed recently how the Deadpool movie even got made, because he's been trying to make it
He was already Deadpool, just not in the fashion that he wanted.
Well, even before, for like 2 or 3 years before the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie was made, and he played a character named Deadpool, who had some similarities to Deadpool character in the beginning of the film. Even years before that, he was trying to make a Deadpool movie. And then the movie came up. It's like, we have the character, Ryan Reynolds will do it. We'll do that anyway and spin it off of that. But then that movie failed, the Origins, the whole X-Men Origins thing. That's why there's no X-Men Origins Magneto. They wanted to do that. They just ended up doing First Class, which is sort of
same thing.
That anyway. And then the Deadpool thing was like, they were working on it. They had a director. The director dropped off. They had a writer working on a screenplay, giving it to Fox. And then it was just died.
Yeah.
Never happening. Ryan Reynolds put out a bunch of movies and they all flopped. The Green Lantern flop didn't help him.
God, it was awful.
Didn't help his clout for getting movies made. But then a weird thing happened where sometime last year, someone leaked about a minute 45 clip online. Test footage. It's all CG. With Ryan Reynolds speaking.
Yeah, as his voice.
As Deadpool, just his voice. You've seen it online.
Yes.
Did you read Deadpool growing up? Are you a fan of Deadpool? Or
did I actually read Deadpool? No, but he's part of the X-Men family of villains.
Mm-hmm.
So, although I didn't read his own comic book series, I am very familiar with him and his ties to Wolverine and the rest of the X-Men.
Because
he's part of the original Weapon X project.
Yes.
Along with Wolverine and this guy, Wolverine, Sabretooth, and Maverick.
Maverick. No one knows Maverick.
Yeah, no.
No one cares about that guy. All the guys, no one cares about that poor guy. Poor Maverick.
Yep.
Well, they're making it an anti-hero Deadpool movie. Thanks to that leaked footage coming out online, no one's fessing up. No one's saying who did it. Actually, a quote from Ryan Reynolds here. When someone asked who leaked it, he said, "I would have if I had known it would have caused that. Honestly, we all thought Tim Miller, the director, had leaked it, but I have since investigated that enough in quiet moments when he was beyond the point of being penalized by anybody, and he said that he really didn't do it. The initial leak came from Fox. They think someone recorded the footage on their iPhone and then released it, and then once that happened, somebody hacked into Blur Studios and got the original footage in high res and put it online."
Okay.
That's a lot there.
No difference. It worked.
It worked. People got excited about it. A month later, it was like put out there in September. A month later, Fox was like, "We're making this movie. It's come out February 2016. It's going to be R-rated. It's also going to have a itty-bitty little budget. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a $20, $25, $30 million movie.
I'm okay with that.
But so are they. Because they're like, we get to make the movie we want to make. Maybe not financially speaking, but we'll make this work.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking something Dread-like in terms of production quality.
Yes.
You know, scale.
Yes.
And size and scope.
Definitely.
You know?
100%.
Yeah. So that's going to be exciting.
And he's the merc with the mouth.
The merc with the mouth. Why they took away his mouth at the end of that movie, that X-Men Origins Wolverine. It's his name. It's what he does. Netflix.
They keep
doing things, man. We talked recently about how they have a 4-film deal with the Duplass brothers.
Uh-huh.
That one guy that's in The League and the other guy that's on the Amazon show.
Yeah.
They got the House of Cards going.
Yes.
They got the Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
They've announced a bunch of movie deals.
There's a whole bunch of other, besides just House of Cards, they've got other series.
A bunch of other series. They got the Lilyhammer and a bunch of I've heard a lot of good things about the Peaky Blinders, the English show. It's got Cillian Murphy. And I think Tom Hardy is in it, too. I mean, it's just worth watching just for the casting. But it is called Peaky Blinders. I'm having trouble getting around that. You English people. We love you, English, over here at the colonies.
And
we love
Peaky
you.
Peaky Blinders.
But some of your vernacular is just so cute. Just a little too cute. Netflix struck a deal with Nintendo. What series do you think is coming?
Zelda. Animated or live action?
Well, let's see here. I don't think they actually said. The Wall Street Journal broke the news of the Legend of Zelda TV series, but no one from Nintendo or Netflix would comment. Netflix's live action Legend of Zelda. There we go. The streaming provider sees this as kind of a more family-oriented version of Game of Thrones. So that's what they're aiming for there. That's their demographic. That's their model, Game of Thrones. Sprawling, multi-character, I guess. Creatures, but also a lot of interaction amongst the actual people. It'll probably be very slow. It'll take Zelda an entire season just to go places, and Link will be like,
it's gonna be awful.
You think it's gonna be straight up awful? No hope for it whatsoever, Drew.
Zero.
None. Give us a truth on the Zelda adaptation.
Well, first off, if they're going, I mean, if they're going at all based on just like the design of the series, Link's kind of effeminate. When you look at him,
they could butcher him up a bit. I mean, he's got kind of that Jap anime thing going on in that picture there.
He's still kind of a gay little elf.
Oh.
And
not that there's anything wrong
with that. But I mean, just the costuming itself is just going to look silly. You know, you've got these pointed hats and these elf ears and these long, wavy blonde hair. I mean, the only way.
Well, then maybe they change all that.
They could do it is if they went Game of Thrones meets Lord of the Rings style. Because there are a lot of monsters in this stuff. And if they're not going animated, they're going live action, then they're going to have to find a way to transfer those monsters into CG. Quote unquote real monsters.
It's all CG, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, they could make the clothing more like Lord of the Rings type of thing. You never looked at like Frodo what was Vigo's character's name? Aragorn?
Yeah. Anyway.
You never looked at them and be like, look at their fruity, crazy clothing. They just were in, you know, the clothing of the time that you would imagine, like tunics and stuff with.
I know. I think it's going to.
Just put a green hat on one of them. You got Link.
I don't think it's going to.
Give him a big ass sword and give Link a big ass sword and then tell him to his face that it looks fruity. See what happens. He'll go, ba-da-ding, and stick a dick right in there. And then you throw an arrow at him and they'll stick with a sword and go, ba-da-ding, and he'll bounce off.
I guess he's a shield for that.
That's what I meant, shield.
The Master Shield and the Master Sword, Chris.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Got to assemble the Triforce.
Got to get the Triforce. That's what it's all about. Those ancient weapons. And defeating the evil
Ganon.
There you go. There you go. It's going to be better than those. Remember those interactive games? The CD-ROM, Sega CD-ROM, I think it was, or something like that. Those interactive games that were cartoony and no.
Dragonlance. No, not Dragonlance. Dragon's Lair.
You're thinking of Dragon's Lair. No, not even better than Dragon's Lair. Because at least Dragon's Lair had some cool-looking animation to it. Hanna-Barbera style looking animation.
I have very low hopes for this.
Okay, there you go. Drew has no hopes for Legend of Zelda.
Not no hopes, low hopes.
He has hopes in low places. Drewster Cogburn telling it as it is. We appreciate that, Drew. That's why you are here. All right, well, there you go. That brings us to the end of episode 109. Thank you, Drewster Cogburn.
You are welcome, sir.
We are out of here, guys. So remember, you can check out back episodes at chriscrespo.com, rate us and review us on iTunes, and support R-rated movies.
Yes.
Because that's important.
Take your children to them.
Yes. Hello, welcome to the show. Welcome to Cinema Crespo. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Chris Crespo, bringing a mic closer to my face Finding the right spot. Where's the best part for it? Oh, maybe right around here. That's what I'm thinking, maybe. What do you think, Drew? How's your mic placement?
Pretty awful right now. Hang on. There we go. That's a lot better.
All right, give me a 1-2. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, check 1-2. How's it going, Chris? Fuck you, rotten hell, you dirty piece of monkey shit bastard.
Okay.